Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Laid. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace, and tonight I have a special show for you. I recently attended a two-day conference on sexual, sex and disability. It was called From Injury to Intimacy. And I just want you to know I enjoyed this seminar very much. You know, first when I hear personally conference or symposium or something like that, I think it's boredom. I thought it was going to be boring. I really did. I went out of a responsibility to you guys. I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go and try and gather as much information as I possibly can. So, you know, somebody gave me the brochure, signed up, and I went. To my surprise, it was wonderful. I enjoyed this seminar so much. First of all, you know, I took notes, guys. I made notes so that I could bring this to you properly. The first thing is that the atmosphere, you know, what I got when I came in. Everybody was very nice, very kind. It was a very laid-back atmosphere. What I was expecting was maybe a stuffy group. Not at all. The first presenter was a man named Dr. Mitchell Tepper. Now, Dr. Mitchell Tepper, he's an internationally recognized sexuality educator and disability expert. He's an author. He's a counselor. You know, he has written a book, the book that was there. He's written a couple of other books also, but the book that was there is called Regain That Feeling, Secrets to Sexual Self-Discovery. And first, let me just, Dr. Tepper was very factual and also entertaining. You know, he's a very good speaker. He keeps you engaged. And one of the things that he spoke about, you know, because this seminar, he has a spinal cord injury. And it was, you know, the seminar, although it was advertised for people with spinal cord injuries, it wasn't just for people with spinal cord injuries. So there was a number of people with different disabilities there. You know, lots of wheelchairs, with crutches, you know, partners and things like that. So he came out and he spoke, and like I said, he was very entertaining, very factual, very comforting even. You know, if you went into this conference feeling a little self-conscious or shy or whatever, I could only imagine, you know, for some, well, I wouldn't say I'm too shy, but maybe a little self-conscious. So, but for me, I was put at ease. I was at ease. And one of the exercises that he did, and I think this is a wonderful icebreaker, is that we did a human scavenger hunt. And with that, you know, he gave us a sheet with different questions. And as it pertains to different people, you have to find different people around the room who these questions pertain to. And like, let's say, for instance, and to me it was the funniest one, and this was my way of breaking the ice with people. The last question on the page was to find a naked yoga instructor. And so that's how I would approach everybody. Excuse me, hi, how are you? My name is Stephanie. Would you happen to be a naked yoga instructor? And so, you know, that helped break the ice. And then, you know, you find people who fit whatever question and you write their name in. And you try and fill up your paper. But that's a great icebreaker, and it got everybody in the room comfortable with each other. And so from there, you know, first he spoke, and then we did the scavenger hunt. And after that, they had a panel of guests with different disabilities, different levels of injury, and everything. And it was wonderful because these guests, it was nine people on the panel. One of the guys, I can't remember his name, but he's from a group called Four Wheel City. Maybe, you know, some of you have heard of this group. I heard of them. I think they do hip hop. Also, there was an actor there who was in a movie with Denzel Washington. He was in the movie American Gangster. And one of the things that he said that, you know, because he acquired his injury. And one of the things that he said, you know, after, you know, because they were talking about regaining your self-esteem and your, you know, and your self-image after your injury. And, you know, he was saying he would check out Denzel while he was on the set and his swag. You know, Denzel walked with a certain swag. So he was like, okay, he's going to roll with a certain swag. And that's what he did. You know, he started rolling his wheelchair with a certain swag. And I just thought that was so cool. You know, like I said, the panel was very open and very honest. And I think that I appreciated that very much because when you see people being open and honest about these things, about ostomy bags and catheters and Foleys and all this stuff like that, it helps you to relax. It helps you to feel like, not just me. It's not just me. So I think that was a wonderful thing. And unfortunately, it went a little longer than, you know, I had to leave before it was over that evening. So I missed the tail end of it. And the next day, you know, I came back and I was a little bit more open and I was able to meet a few people before the seminar started. You know, got to talk to a few people and get to know them, and that was really nice. And let them know about the show late, and you know, we went back into the seminar, and Dr. Tepper, he spoke again. And on this day, there was another woman he had invited to speak. Actually, he invited two women to speak. One of them was a doctor, and her portion was a little bit more technical, and it kind of really, I'm not gonna say I wasn't paying attention. But it didn't stick. It didn't stick. Okay. Not being disrespectful, but it didn't stick with me because it was specifically pertaining to the spinal cord injury, and that's not my, you know, I mean, anyway, moving on. There was a lady there. Her name was Rebecca. Let me see. I wrote down her name. Her name was Rebecca Tarosian, and she is a sexuality expert. And she took us through some exercises that were great. I love, this was my favorite part of the conference. She took us through these exercises that helps you to become more connected to your partner. That's what it's designed to help you to become more aware of what's going on right now. You know, to get yourself in tune with your body and what your body is feeling, to try and clear your mind, you know, to sweep away those thoughts of whatever else is going on and just concentrate and be in tune, to be connected with your partner and not overthink things, you know. And it helps you to become, it helps to create a more intimate moment for you, a more pleasurable moment. You know, you're concentrating more on what is going on instead of what you're going to do. You know, so there were some breathing exercises and there were some touching exercises. You know, you partnered up with somebody and, you know, just different ways to feel, a regular feel, a deeper feel, a surface feel. And these are things that you really don't pay attention to, but as she pointed them out there in the conference and as we were doing them, you know, it brings things to mind. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, like snap, like, oh, wow, yeah, that really is helpful. And so this was my favorite part of the conference. It was very relaxing. You know, they even did something with raisins. where, you know, everybody was handed a raisin, and, you know, you examined the raisin in the palm of your hand, you rolled it around, you held it between your fingers, and, you know, you put it in your mouth and gently, you know, held it between your teeth without biting it, and, you know, and then finally, you know, you did it. But it was sort of like a lead up to this explosion of flavor with this raisin. Now, I didn't do it because I don't like raisins, but I get the point, you know. And so it was wonderful. And if you ever have a chance to hear Dr. Tepper speak, it's really good. He has some videos and some books out. His website is mitchelltepper.com. Really, check it out. And see, he also discussed something that he calls the seven myths. And these are things that we may believe about ourselves that act as a barrier to us becoming intimate or enjoying a more productive and pleasurable intimate life. So I see I have a couple of callers here, and I am going to take caller 3721. I'm about to put you on the air. Let me know if you want to talk.
Hey,
good
how
evening.
You doing, Stephanie?
How are you, Norberto?
I'm good. I'm just listening in mostly because I don't really know what to say because I wasn't able to make it. But, you know, I'm happy that yeah, I'm enjoying, you know, listening to you talk about it because I wanted to know how it went.
Yeah, it was really very interesting. And I think it is something that's really beneficial for couples. I mean, it's beneficial for single people also.
Right.
But I think it would be especially beneficial for couples. And it was very helpful for me in terms of just really, you know, just really asserting yourself, you know, when it comes to your sexuality after disability, you know, and things, because there's so many things that we use. And I would love to go over these seven myths that he talks about, but I it's his book, you know, I don't want to do that. And, you know, and it's his book. And I would love for him to come on the show and to speak on the show. And if I ever get that chance, then maybe I will, you know, ask him to discuss the seven myths. But, you know, as I was saying, it was a really good conference. And one of the things that I found was that it was people were not shy.
Wonderful.
You know, as I thought people would be very shy and timid to talk about these things, the atmosphere was very open and relaxed, and people felt comfortable speaking and asking questions. And we even did a wonderful exercise where we broke off into groups, and we got goodie bags. And in these goodie bags were adult toys. And what we had to do was go in the bag and use and write stories using the toys that we received. And so we had to make up these group stories, and they were hysterical. The stories were hysterical. It was a great exercise. And another, you know, exercise, like I was talking about the human scavenger hunt that helped break the ice and make people comfortable with each other. This is another exercise that helped to make people comfortable with each other. And I really would recommend, if you ever get a chance, if something like this comes up again, go. Go. Because it was really nice. You know, it's really nice. And you know, one of the things that he was speaking about, because he himself, let me backtrack. I have heard other people speak about, you know, sexuality and disability, but he is actually disabled himself.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's been disabled since he was like 20 years old. He had his accident when he was 20 years old. So he really knows what he's talking about, talks about it in such an open way to where there's no embarrassment. He's over his embarrassment about anything, you know. And it really helps. It really helps, and I enjoy it. And it makes it even more so. It makes me feel like excuse me, and know that this is a topic, you know, that we need to keep talking about, that this show is something that I need to keep doing, you know, until people, you know, just until it's a, just a until it's not an issue.
Right.
You know, I think it's something that needs to be talked about until it is not an issue.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that he, you know, was talking about was that, you know, how some people feel that because they are disabled, no one would want them as a lover.
Right, right.
You
and,
know,
and that goes back to, you know, that goes back to loving thyself.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And it's all a process. It's all a process. It's not going to happen right away. It's a process. You know, because even, you know, having to, you know, and I'm speaking in from a point of view of somebody who acquired their disability. Just dealing with the fact that you have a disability now. You know, that this way your life, that in this way your life has changed. You know, getting yourself, getting over that, and then going on to start to rebuild your life. All of that is a process. And, you know, and within that process, you know, you build up your self-image and your self-esteem and getting yourself together so that you can be with somebody. You know?
Yep.
That's another thing I want to work on. I went back and I listened to some of the shows. Do you know how many times I say, you know? I say, you know?
I do that a lot,
you know?
Too. I do that a lot, too.
I do that. Okay. I'm trying to keep a tally on how many times I say, you know. So I'm trying to be a better speaker and be mindful of me saying, you know, and you know what I mean. But, yeah, this was a good thing. This conference was a good thing. It really was. They did, they demonstrated things that you can use.
Right, right.
To help you, when you're being intimate. And then they raffled them off. I thought that was great.
Wow.
You know, it was a fun thing. It was something I thought I would be, and I did have a little embarrassing moment. I was asked what, you know, was something about, you know, some of the toys, you know, some of the giveaways, you know, what could be done with that. And I went blank, I went shy. And in that moment, I thought to myself, here I am, I'm telling people about the show, you know, what it's about and everything. But then I'm not the one to go shy. I'm not supposed to go shy. I'm saying, I got a show, we talk about this. And then when it's put in my face, I'm like, You know, so I thought that was a little funny, but I recovered pretty quickly.
That's good.
But it was a good thing. It really was a good thing. And there were young people, older people. There was a woman there who I would say was in her 60s,
right,
at least, full of life, very lively woman.
Oh, wonderful.
Was a gentleman who, pardon me?
That's a wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. Because I was thinking about, you know, I was looking, I was like, wow, look at this lady. And then I realized that I probably was thinking like, okay, she's not doing anything anymore. But she was there. No, seriously, just like people look at us and say.
No, that's the assumptions that we get.
Right. And here I am making this assumption about this lady. You know, and so, you know, I apparently, I guess I'm wrong, you know, or whatever, or at least she's interested. But and I had to, you know, realize that's the same thing. I'm doing the same thing as people do to us.
Yeah.
So, and I thought that was, and she was also, you know, in a wheelchair, but that lady was so full of life and, you know, such a nice lady, such a nice lady. She had a lot of energy, you know, and I appreciated that. And a lot of nice people there, really.
Yeah.
And they were all, even when we were not in the seminar, you know, in the conference, mm-hmm. you know, at a presentation, just talking amongst each other. People were very open.
Right.
And I wonder myself, because see, now my world has become just, you know, being around mostly disabled people, unless it's my family, you know, but mostly my friends are disabled. And when I'm out and about, I'm with people who have a disability.
Right.
But I wonder, you know, what my view of the world has changed, because, you know, it's like I wonder when other people go, you know, when you go out into the world. See, I don't feel that, like, in the beginning, it was sort of like I felt like everybody was looking at me. I felt like now I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel, I just feel like I'm a lady riding a scooter. You know, not necessarily I'm different from you in any way because I have a disability or anything. I just feel like a lady riding a scooter. You know, when I'm around other people who don't have disabilities. So I don't have that that shyness about my disability anymore. But I see how we are when we're with each other. And it's just so open and so natural. And I wonder when we leave and disperse, you know, do we still have that openness? I feel I do. But I wonder, you know, about other people, or do you go back into that shyness?
What about you? I think it depends on the person. You know, the person has to be comfortable with themselves. And two, you know, you have to be around other people who are comfortable. Because if you're not, you know, because if you're around other people who are uncomfortable, that's going to make you uncomfortable. At least for me, you know, if I'm around other people that's uncomfortable to talk about a certain subject, you know, that's going to make me kind of shut down. Like, you know.
Yeah. My God, they don't want to hear it. No. You know, but I'm going to keep talking about it. I really am, because I see how, you know, it helps. I see how it's almost like a relief to be able to talk, or even just to, even if you don't say anything, to identify with somebody who has the same issue or similar issue that you do. It's almost like a relief. It's like I'm not the only one. You know, because there are plenty of times when I felt like, all right, this is my problem. I'm not going to say, you know, whatever it's about, whether it's about this subject or whatever. There are plenty of times when I felt like I'm not going to say anything. I'll figure it out myself. I'll keep it to myself, you know. But when you find somebody who has, you know, your issue, a similar issue, it's like, oh, wow, okay, so I'm not crazy. Yeah. It's not just me or whatever. And what one of the things I found that I like to do is to try and just be open. Just be open. Just be honest. I'm not worried about embarrassment too much anymore. Just what the hell?
Yeah, you know, just even
because if it'll relieve somebody else, just go ahead, say it, do it, you know, as long as it's not hurting anybody.
Right.
You know, so that's my thing. I see I have another caller here, so I'm going to put you back on hold and see if my other caller wants to talk. I got a feeling this is my caller that doesn't like to talk, but I will put you on hold. Thank you for calling, Alberto.
You're welcome.
Good evening, caller 4723. You are on the air. Would you like to speak? I know who this is. I think you don't like to speak. Okay, bye-bye. Keep listening. Thank you. Hi, how are you? It's me, Stephanie. I'm back. What I was speaking to Norberto about the honesty, being honest, and it's almost like somebody has to do it. You know, we can't all hide behind things, you know, maybe make us feel a little bit embarrassed or whatever. I mean, the more you talk about it, the more it'll take the stigma off of something. you know, but if you keep it to yourself, if you keep it inside, you know, it's like it's something to be embarrassed about. It's nothing to be embarrassed about having a disability and the associated issues that come along with a disability. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's a fact of life. It's something that happened. It's something that you can't help, and we've got to deal with it. And so, I'll take this subject of our sexuality and how some people, you know, it's like, ew, they don't want to think about it, they don't want to touch it, they don't want to talk about it or anything. So if nobody's talking about it, some people think it's like an abnormal thing, you know, like, you know, why would you want to have sex with somebody who's disabled? You know, it's like you shh, be quiet, go over there in the corner, concentrate on your disability. You know, we'll give you a wheelchair and disability benefits or whatever. Just be quiet. Don't make so much noise. Now, you want to go. We want to go out. You know, I know a group called Rolling Forward, and they do skydiving. They do, what is it called? Like water skiing type of thing. They do different activities, adaptive activities for people with disabilities. You know, you want to do sports, you want to have sex, but, you know, you have a disability, just shh and be quiet. No, we are not going to be quiet. We are not going to be quiet. You know, me and my aide, we were waiting outside for accessoride, and one of my neighbors came up, and he said, "Is that your babysitter?" I said, "What?" I said, "Do you see how old I am? Why would I have a babysitter?" I said, "She's my aide, but she's not my babysitter." You know, and I just thought that was, I thought it was kind of funny, and I thought it was kind of sad, because I think that, well, not think, now I know, that's how some people look at us. You know, they see somebody with you, you know, assisting you with the things that are difficult for you to do, and they assume that you can't do anything for yourself. You know, and it's up to us to dispel that thinking. You know, it's up to us to dispel that thinking. And the only way we can do that is by not being quiet. You know, by talking about things that may be a little bit difficult to talk about. By not, you know, there was a time when I felt like, you know, okay, I'm just going to try it. Shrink back here in the corner. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to. This is around first when I first, you know, acquired my disability and I had my walker, you know, whatever. If I went somewhere, I'd park my walker in the corner and I'd sit in the walker and be quiet. You know, I didn't want to make waves. I didn't even want to get up and walk around, because I felt like I was too awkward. I was too in the way, you know. So I just don't want to be quiet. And people, you know, when somebody come over and talk to me, they come over and talk to me. And, but it's not even really my personality, you know. There I go with the you know again. But that's not even really my personality. I'm more of a talker. I like to talk to people. I like to get to know people. But that walker was like shackles. It was like shackles. And it took me to meet people who were living, people with disabilities. There was a woman that used to come to this place I go called ICS. I go on Friday nights. And they have a hangout for people who, you know, people with physical disabilities. You know, and it was a woman that used to come there. And her name was Hermina, I believe. And the thing that impressed me so much about this woman was that she was, like, almost laying down all the way. And she would still come out. And she would still hand out whatever literature she was handing out. You know, I think she was into women's rights and educating women, you know, women's empowerment and things like that. And she would hand out her, you know, her flyers or her, you know, handouts or whatever. But she would come out. And here's a woman, like I said, she was almost laying down. And I would look at this woman, and it was like, okay, all right, you don't stop living just because. I had a walker. That's all I had was a walker. And I sound so New York, I said walker. But anyway, it's like from Brooklyn, right? But, yeah, and I had slowed down. I had stopped going places. I had stopped going out. You know, it was just like, I let the disability take over me. And, you know, it was like meeting women like her and a number of other people, you know, that I saw all the time that got out and they lived. They lived. They did things. They went places. They were not this image of disability that I used to have. This image of, okay, my image of disability was like somebody sad, in a wheelchair, head down, maybe didn't speak that much, and somebody pushing them around. That was my image of disability. And so when I became disabled, it's almost like I tried to fit into that image. You know, like, okay, that's it now. And then, you know, like I said, I started meeting people. ICS, they gave a holiday party. And I went to this holiday party. And I was so impressed. I'm usually impressed, but it was a really nice party. What I was expecting was to go someplace and it'd be a really cheap party. That's it. That's all I can say. That's the only way I can explain it. A really cheap party, maybe. Cheesy party. We went to this place. We get to this place in Manhattan on 18th Street and 6th Avenue. I think it was between 5th and 6th. Very nice place. I go in, and like I said, it was very nice. Cloth tablecloths and catered food. Good food. We got to invite a guest, two guests, I think we got to invite. And the DJ started playing the music and blew my head off watching these people with disabilities party. Do you understand? Now, this is my first exposure to a party with people with disabilities. These people in their chairs were dancing their behinds off. This one man, I thought he was going to pop out of his chair. This party was so nice. We were treated with such respect. You know, that's one of the things that to change what I can, help when I can, people who have disabilities, to remind them, you know, that you are a person and not a patient. You know, you're a person. However far your abilities can take you, go there. Go there. And open up, you know, because I sometimes, you know, I see people and they just seem so close. I mean, let me get back to this party. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. So this party, you know, like, and I sat there amazed. I really was. I was amazed. And because, you know, I had my image in my head of what disabled people were like. I had this image in my head of how we would be treated. And to see group of disabled, I mean, not just a small group, this hall was filled up. People enjoying themselves and the dancing really got me, you know, treated with respect, treated as people. That, just witnessing that kind of treatment I would say it changed my life. It made me not feel horrible about having a disability. I didn't feel sorry for myself because I saw possibilities. I saw possibilities. Every time I would be coming home from ICS in my accessory, I was always thinking about something that I could do to reach out and help, you know, and I don't mean help as in open minds, that's what I mean, you know, how can I reach out and open minds and make it comfortable for people to open up, and so this is what I came up with. This show is what I came up with, it's something that, you know, has been on my mind for a while, and I have been wanting to do. I didn't know I wanted to do a show, but I, you know, that part of wanting to help make people comfortable, and seeing beyond the barriers that hold us back, you know, because we all have them. And a lot of them, most of them, are self-imposed. Most of the barriers that we have that hold us back from doing the things that make us happy, satisfied, fulfilled, are self-imposed barriers. Things we think we can't do. Something somebody said we can't do and we believe. You know, limits that we put on ourselves. Fears that we succumb to. All of these things, those are self-imposed things. You know, situations that we are in that we don't have to be in, but we subject ourselves to, self-imposed. We really got to look at ourselves. We have to look at our lives. We have to look at our situations. You know, what do you want? What do you want out of this life? You know, this life that is short. It's short. It is, you know. What do you want out of it? Is it okay to just simply exist from day to day? Or do you want to do something? You know, do you want to do something? I mean, everybody, I mean, you don't have to be famous. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be rich. But what do you want to do? And how do you get to it? You know, and don't let the fact that you're in a wheelchair, you have, you know, some type of disability or issue, stop you or hold you back. Set an example. Set an example for the world. Okay, I can't do this, but I can do this. You know, that's what I have to do. I have to look at myself. And I had to, you know, once I had settled in to my disability. Okay, I can't do this anymore, but what can I do? You know, what can I do? And one of the things that I always wanted to do was write. And I'm such a procrastinator. I'm a professional procrastinator. I am an excellent procrastinator. I have stories in my head. It's a matter of getting them on, you know, getting them out of my head. But books, I've always wanted to write books. You know, I actually started writing, you know, the stories. I want to write them for my grandchildren because I said I do not want to leaving something for my grandchildren, you know. And I started writing, like, maybe writing these stories, I'd say about 4 years ago. Don't have one. One was in the computer that messed up. But yeah, I'm procrastinator. Anyway, I digress. I'll get back to what I was talking about as far as finding out what you want to do and stepping over and knocking down those barriers that you set up for yourself. You know, and it's something sometimes it's ingrained in us. It really is. Sometimes, especially, you know, if you come up and you did not come up in a supportive environment and around people who let you know, you know, that you are a capable person. You know, some people don't have the benefit of that, and you have to really fight to take your power and own it. You know, a lot of times we're taught, you know, and it might not be a direct lesson, but sometimes we're taught, you know, that being powerful or being great or, you know, doing, you know, like we shouldn't be so self-absorbed. You know, we're very, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like you have to give yourself permission, you know, to, like, okay, this show, I have to give myself permission to do it, to take it from a thought to an actual show. It was easy to do, but I had to give myself permission to do it, to say to myself, okay, it's like an investment in myself. You know, whether it does well or not, it's okay. I've settled myself with that. It's okay. Keep pushing on. Keep working on it. Keep working on it. Keep working on it. You know, so I don't get disappointed if 1 week I don't have any callers. I'm still going to talk as if I have a whole 1,000 people out there listening to me. I'm still going to talk the same way. You know, I'm still going to bring it to you the same way, because it's something that, you know, this is part of my growth and development. This is part of my investing in myself, you know, and being helpful. And, you know, all of the things that I said I want to do. Now, it's no guarantee, like I said, it's going to be successful, but it's a success because I actually stepped out and I did it. And so, and trying to encourage others to find out what you want to do, find out what interests you, where do you want to go, and do it, and don't let things hold you back. Don't hold yourself back, you know. And let me get back to, there I go, what you know again. But let me get back to the topic that I wanted to talk about today, and that was this conference and the things that I learned. The thing I took away most from this conference was that I enjoyed most and that affected was the mindfulness, the being mindful, the being in the moment, the relaxing and not thinking ahead as to what you're going to do when you're with your partner, and just enjoying what is happening. Just, you know, relaxing yourself. You know, we did these breathing exercises that were just very, very relaxing. Really relaxing, you know. And I wish I had somebody there with me, and, you know, so that, anyway, you know, like I said, it was a good seminar. It was a good way to, it's a learning experience. It's really, and it makes you also rethink what you thought about sex. Because when you think about it, really, we learn technical from school. Your parents will tell you things. But the actual act, one, we see what we see on TV, the dramatization on television and movies and things like that. So, you know, reading and romance novels, all of that is a dramatization. But, and then a lot of times we have this thing when men and women approach each other, you want to act like you know more than you know, or that you're so experienced, or, you know, it's sort of like an embarrassment. We're not very open with each other. Well, this has been my experience coming up, you know, as a teenager, you know, losing my virginity. I didn't know crap That's it. I didn't know crap, and for years and years, I didn't know crap, you know. But I thought I knew. I thought I knew. I will honestly say that this was an eye-opener because you start to look, it helped me to look at sex and intimacy as more than just the act of intercourse. You know, it's supposed to be a pleasurable experience. So it goes beyond that intercourse that might not even be available to you. You know, you might not be able to. So then what? You know, so it really helped me think a different way, and I'm very, very happy and glad that I went to the seminar and had this experience. Again, I'll say check out Dr. Mitchell Tepper. His website is Mitchell, MitchellL, Tepper, TEPPER.com, MitchellTepper.com. He has some videos there, different books that he has there that you can check out. Also, there was a woman, her name was Rebecca. Oh, Lord, what was her name? I can't remember this lady's name. Tarosian. And her email is intimacyexpert@yahoo.com. Maybe if you have some type of questions or anything like that about the what is it, tantric sex, that's what it is. And that's part of that whole being in the moment and connected, you know, experience. Like I said, it was a great thing, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to end the show right now because I see we don't have any more callers. And I appreciate you listening in. Thank you very much. And I hope to see you next week. Good night.